The two largest South African trade union federations, COSATU and SAFTU, called for a national shutdown on Wednesday. The mass action that was called for was in protest against rising costs of living, unemployment, crime and rising fuel prices in particular. There were also protests planned for across the country. But was the protest action significant enough for government to sit up and take heed of workers' grievances? I'm Catherine Rice, a journalist for News 24's multimedia department, and you're listening to The Story, where we'll talk to journalists and experts about the biggest story of the week. We're talking to Fin24 journalist Kulakani Magubane, and later on we'll talk to South African Federation of Trade Union Secretary General Zwelinzi Mavavi. Kulakani, thank you for your time. Was the national shutdown a success? Do you think government is going to sit up and listen to workers?
This is a very important question that you asked there. And I would say one of the things that many people have been concerned about when it came to the national shutdown was the presence and the impact that it would have. And a lot of people know unions to be very robust in their mass action. And you know they want to block roads. They want to make the country as hard to govern as possible to make their point. And we didn't see any of that on Wednesday. So many people would say that that points to a failure, but it's quite a nuanced discussion because Zwelinzi Mavavi acknowledged ahead of the national shutdown that this probably wouldn't be as big as the shutdowns we've seen in 2017 or 2018, for example. And he pointed to a deteriorating public transport system as the reason. And, you know, of course, he's the Secretary General of SAFTU, and its largest union is NUMSA, who already indicated to SAFTU that they won't be able to support the national shutdown financially. So there's a lot of things to point to, but a lot of there is also concern about union power waning and unions not being able to get as much people behind their mass actions as they used to because, of course, employment is declining and that leaves a smaller pool for unions to recruit from. And, of course, there is the tanking faith that the general public has in unions and organized labor. So overall, to answer your question in a long-winded way, it wasn't a success in many ways. And what further complicates things is the constrained fiscal environment that government has to honor these demands that labor has. They're talking about 1,500 rand basic income grants, raising the national minimum wage to 75 rands per hour. Very difficult demands to meet halfway.
Kulakani, the federations, as you mentioned, want a package of interventions. What are these and how much will they cost government? I mean, in the current economic conditions, are they realistic?
Yes, these would be very difficult demands to meet. Like I said, there was a 1,500 rand basic income grant that they want to see implemented. They want the national minimum wage raised to 75 rands per hour. They want supports for investing in state-owned companies, public transports. They want state-owned companies to insource all of their auxiliary labor, things like security and cleaning services. And we know that state-owned entities are in dire financial conditions. You know, Eskom just agreed to a 7% across-the-board wage agreement with unions after going into those agreements saying that all they could afford was 0%. It's a very difficult situation, and it doesn't look like they'll be able to easily honor any of these demands.
The South African National Taxi Council did not participate in the strike. How did that affect the impact of the shutdown?
Yes, we know that taxis are the backbone of working class transport system. You know, many working class people will be living in places that are far flung from areas of central business districts, and without if taxis were to buy in and stay away, that would have definitely had an impact on the national shutdown's intensity. Crucial partner skipping the national shutdown, and that definitely changed things a great deal.
Can you tell us about the latest unemployment figures released recently?
We did see unemployment go down, and a lot of people are optimistic from that quarterly labor force survey. But what we need to remember is that this is an improvement from a base that's already quite dire. We're still over 20% in terms of unemployment. We're still seeing unemployment of people who are in the need category in terms of young people who want to work and maybe can work but have just given up looking for jobs is still baked into the employment markets of the country. It's not, such as, countries such as Germany where you have, 3% and that structural unemployment because it's people who don't want to work anyway. There are people who want to work in this country and cannot, and it's still in numbers in the hundreds of thousands. And of course, the former Statistician General, Phalile Gohla, pointed out to the news outlets that there's still that dynamic of for every million people that are born in this country, only 6,000 make it as far as matric. And out of that number, only about 250,000 make it out of matric with a pass that can take them to a good tertiary education facility. And that means that we are leaving so many people behind in terms of access to economic activity. It is a tick up, but a lot of people don't really see it as a reason to be elated about the unemployment concerns of South Africa.
Scary numbers indeed. Thank you so much for your time. That was Kulakani Magubane, FIN24 reporter. We're now joined by SAFTU Secretary General Zwelinzima Mavavi. Zwelinzima, thank you for your time. Wednesday's protests were not on the scale of the 2018 mass protests, which is something you predicted. Why was that?
Look, I think that at the scale of the stairway, it was very effective. A lot of workers that didn't come, and anybody would have been in Johannesburg, Pretoria, would have seen that there is a massive lesser values of traffic in the streets that attest to the fact that lots of workers stayed away from working. So there's no doubt about the strike, the fact that the strike was effective. But what was not at the same scale as 2018 is the marches. In the main, look, we normally rely on trains, in particular in Gauteng and Western Cape, to get workers into the demonstrations. There's no trains. The whole system have been collapsed. And we now have to rely on the taxis. The kombis only take 15, 18 people, and you have to bring a lot of them to even make 1,000 demonstrators. And that killed us.
What are you hoping government will do to deal with the cost of living crisis?
At the center of the crisis, in our view, is government's inappropriate economic programs and policies. Inappropriate in that government have not changed the structure of the economy, have not developed a new growth path that will be underpinned by reindustrialization of our economy. Trapping down the resources that are leaving the country through illicit cash outflow, turn around its fiscal and monetary policies, stop chasing an inflation target of 3-6%, and target the crisis of unemployment and growth, stop the investment strike and austerity programs of the government. For the private sector, the 1.8 trillion rands that is hoarded and by the private sector and rich individuals, and tax it, introduce a wealth tax and force them to invest that money in the productive sectors of the economy. And only when we deal with that and we begin to see an economy growing through redistribution of wealth, do we stand a chance of addressing in particular the principal problem of South Africa, which is that of unemployment. Only if we succeed to force government to abandon the current economic programs that are making South Africa a two islands. One island is super rich and it occupies, but is constituted by only 10% of the population, owns the wealth of, owns 90% of the wealth of the country. And the 90% island owns only 10% of the wealth of the country. That's the source of instability And this is what we, the combination of all of these things we've called a ticking time bomb.
So you do expect more strike action in the coming months as the frustrations of the poor increase?
Absolutely. We do accept that we still have to build deeper levels of unity with other federations. We still have to bring both NAC to FEDUSA on board. We need more of the localized actions to be combined with the unity with the organized workers. And we need workers to begin to be active in their township structures. And so that they not only relating with a struggle for a living wage, but they relate with the struggle against gender-based violence, against the drugs pandemic afflicting our young people. They participate in the service delivery, they lead those and service delivery protests, and they take us back to how things used to be, basically in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s.
Zwelinzima, there has been criticism that the protest itself damages the economy and in fact destroys jobs. Was it not perhaps counterproductive?
Look, it depends on which class divide you stand, which side you stand on. On the side of the working class, they have been, these people were paying and have been paying and are paying the supreme sacrifice. They go to work 365 days. And their loyalty to the system has only created these following conditions. There have been 15 years of load shedding, despite workers presenting themselves to work 365 days every year. 15 years of load shedding, nothing has been done. And that load shedding has a class and race in it, in that it punishes more black people and working class communities than it will punish the suburbians. So working every day has not helped us. The education crisis continues. The people who are unpatriotic, who undermine the common interest of all South Africans, are the guys who are moving sometimes between 300 and 400 billion rand out of this economy through illicit cash outflows. That's the unpatriotic crowd. The unpatriotic crowd are those stealing between 35 and 40% of the government procurement policy, which amounts to a 250 billion rand every financial year. That's the unpatriotic people that we should be speaking about. And they're not only doing that. If you look at the report of the Judge Dennis Davis, he reported that at the minimum, we're losing 50 billion rand through tax dodging schemes of corporates in South Africa. And those are the unpatriotic South Africans. They occupy, as I said, 90% of the wealth of the population, and they are sitting on 1.8 trillion rands they are hoarding. They won't invest. They have invested, they have embarked in the longest investment strike in history.
In terms of the economy and just how it's in such a poor state, are your demands realistic? I mean, how can government actually afford them?
If government was only to go back to where the corporates were on the eve of democracy. On the eve of democracy, corporates paid up to 54% of corporate tax. 54% in 1992. Smiling, propping up an apartheid system that only benefited 10% of the population. This government naively believed their nice propaganda that a conducive environment must be created and that the tax must be cut. And they cut them from 54%, they are now at 27%, and they may cut them further come the 26th of October, when the minister presents the medium-term budget policy framework statement. And that amount of money can pay the basic income grant. With ease, can drive the biggest infrastructure development program this country needs to create jobs and to put people in the rural areas in the first industrial revolution. We're not even talking about the fourth industrial revolution. Our people in the rural areas have no roads, have no water, and they don't have food. We need them to be able to use their land, and the only way for them to use their land is for a government to invest in the appliances that will make them to be productive and to use their land productively. And if only we were to trap back into the economy the 400 billion rands that leaves this country through illicit cash outflow, we would be able to pay that 1,500 rand smiley. And we will have so much money in our books that we can begin to drive a massive job creation program.
Well, thank you so much for your time and those insights. That was SAFDU Secretary General Zwelinzi Mavhavhi. That's all we have time for this week. I'm Catherine Rice. Join us again next week for The Story.